welcome into episode 164 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got What to Crack, Retreat section, Review section with Wool Tribe 2, Coming Up, Me section, and Shoppy section. This episode has kindly been sponsored by my very good friends, Joe and Mika of Edinburgh Yarn Fest fame. They said, Edinburgh Yarn Festival is the date in the UK wool event calendar where knitters and crocheters from all over the world can get together, meet up with old yarny friends, or make new ones, and above all, indulge themselves in all things yarn. The marketplace is stowed out full to bursting with beautiful yarns and an emphasis on hand-dyed luxury British breed and interesting yarns from the UK and overseas. There's also bags, baskets, spinning equipment and fibre, jewellery, books, cards, yarn bowls, all sorts of notions for those who love wool. This year, the team have made their Wool Tribe magazine available in plenty time for the festival. If you fancy a copy, then you can order it from their website, www.edinyarnfest.com. There's still time to make something to wear at the festival. That's if you're a really fast knitter. But the gauntlet is down, listeners. So how wonderful does that sound, listeners? I did ask Joe and Mika if they wanted to record that for you, but then thought, well, actually, that's quite cheeky and unfair for me asking them to do all the work. So it was a pleasure to read that out for you ladies. I've had to do it twice now because Buchel kept coming in, and I thought, nope, he's not coming in and spoiling this. He can spoil me, but I'm spoiling you. And I can't tell you how excited it all sounds. This episode is heavily influenced by the Edinburgh Yarn Fest, so hopefully you're going to jump on this excitement band too. The links will be with the show notes, which there will be some this episode.
Whatsy crack, section.
Whatsy crack. Last episode, listeners, you were treated to an unedited version of the drams. The one I edited was 15 minutes shorter. There was no mention of smallpox in it, and I am so thankful that we didn't swear on it, as this was marked as a clean podcast. I had checked that the drams was in it before I loaded, but I didn't double check it was the actual edited version. I thought it was, and then I was listening back, and I thought, and then I was listening for any swear words, and it didn't actually come to any. So some of you might have noticed, and most of you probably thought, oh, goodness sake, get on with it. I'll be much more careful this episode, listeners. I've been watching a new to me video cast. It's been going on since last July, and there's currently 9 episodes, mostly over 45 minutes. But the thing that makes it pretty special is that it is a man from Thurso, which is near me, doing it. He's called John, and he hosts the Beardy Cheel Knitting Banter Whip videocast. He has a beard, he's a cheel, and that's a Caithness word for man. And he knits. And he has banter. He is from Glasgow Way originally, so he won't have the same accent as me, but he lives here, he goes out and about sometimes, and you get to see the Caithness that you hear me talk about. I've only got 2 episodes in, because I have to watch my broadband downloads, so that's why I don't really watch an awful lot of video podcasts, but when he's local, you kind of have to. And I've actually really enjoyed it so far. He's a really nice man, and a pretty talented knitter. We actually have talked to each other in the past, but not in a conversational way, as he is the director of Thurso Players, and I remember speaking to him at a pantomime when we went into it. But we follow each other on Instagram, and I'm hoping that he'll come along to the retreat, and he's certainly going to be at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest for you to meet. He has a few designs out too, which look pretty cool. He's used a lot of Gongcraft yarns, who are based out at Durness. They were at Edinburgh Yarn Fest last year. I love their yarns because my friend Anne knows them too, and she has some of their yarns, and on Tuesday she was wearing one in a Martina Bem's Hitchhiker, and it was really nice. So that's Beardy Cheel, all one word, and I'll spell it for you to go and look up on YouTube, but it will be in the show notes, and it's BeardyCheel. I love that word, cheel. Who's that cheel over there? John, and he does the Beardy Cheel Knitting Podcast. Retreat. For your retreat attendees going to Edinburgh Yarn Fest, I'm going to have a to the flag moment at the Saturday lunchtime when the podcast meetup is on between 1 and 2. I'm going, by the way. I forgot to tell you that. I have it written down later, but I must have, because I wrote the episode in different order. And then, yeah. So I'm going to be at Edinburgh Yardfest. Hooray, listeners! Now, I'm not sure what time I'll be down on the Friday, because I'll be leaving here first thing, but I will be spawning around in the afternoon, and if you make yourself known to me, I will give you a big hug. If you are, and if possible, I'll introduce you to the other attendees if you don't know them, because I really think that it helps if you sort of meet somebody before you go to an event like that, and you'll know what they're like, and then you can chat to each other on Ravelry that little bit easier. I'm afraid our American visitors might not manage this. You never know. We might have a Turbo Gal just appearing in Edinburgh Yarnfest. I wouldn't put it past them. Maybe they borrow the TARDIS. That would be good. So the full amount was due on the 1st of February. And if you've not yet furnished me with the full amount, which is £155 outstanding, please do so at your earliest convenience. I'll send out threatening emails next week if you have not. I'd imagine you've forgotten. That's okay. I'm kind of like that. And I'm not actually all that chasing you because they're not chasing me yet. But I really do need to start getting my side of things properly organised. And the money means it's out of your bank account, out of your minds, and I can make things magical for you.
The review section.
Review section. Will Tribe 2. Well, it was a lovely post day last week and when my Will Tribe 2 appeared. It's physically 7 by 9.5 inches big and 65 pages full. This is the official 2017 festival companion. And as Joe and Mika's front sponsor said, that you can get them from the Edinburgh Yarnfest website for the measly price of £10 plus postage. They called it a magazine. I like to call it a softback book because it's quite thick. In it, you will get 6 patterns, and that in itself I think is great value for money of £10 for 6 patterns. Plus, I've noticed that there's a Ravelry down code on the contents page. I've noticed that when I was writing it, so excuse me one moment. Aha! I have redeemed my coupon. And you do that by finding the pattern page on Ravelry for Wool Tribe 2, obviously. And then underneath the front cover on the left-hand side, you go down a bit and you can click there to redeem your coupon code. It is not available for download only, but when you buy your physical copy, it comes with the code itself. I love that, getting your pattern and then getting it on Ravelry 2. Also on the front page, in the small print, it was edited by Joe Kelly and Mika Kalimis. There was yarn support and there was photography crew, main being Katie Blair Matthews, and the model is Michelle Ward, and the location was the Biscuit Factory in Edinburgh. And what I liked best of all was it was printed in Scotland. Well done, ladies and gentlemen. Now, throughout the companion book, that's what I call it. It sounds posh, doesn't it? Companion book. It's like Doctor Who. Actually, maybe Joe and Mika are Doctor Who, and this is the companion. Sorry, geeked out there. Now, throughout the companion book, there are many adverts for the exhibitors themselves, and I'm really doing my homework of who's going and what I want to buy from them. I will take you straight to my cunning plan, my plan so cunning it will fool the wiliest of foxes. And the exhibitors list at the back, it has a colour-coded map of where they will be waiting for me. And with this, I can mark who I want to go see and where they are. I'm quite familiar with the venue now, having been there twice before, so I've got my mind set for where everybody is. It's not too big to get lost or miss them, which is good, but big enough to be able to spend an absolute fortune. However, these can be informed purchases. That's what you say when it's a lot of money, informed purchases. If anybody says, oh, wow, that's a lot of money, it's an informed purchase. You have to say it like that because it just sounds really patronising back. For instance, I can go to my needle stash and think, I would like short, cabled salt needles, and I know that I get them at, say, Pearlescence, stand A11, or Loop, stand H1. Or I want a dress worth of Arran to go with the pattern that I've got in my Ravelry library, and I'll go to Jameson's of Shetland, F2, and order it, and then I'll get it sent back a week later. It's the gift that keeps on giving. I also have a right hankering to go and roll in Ginger Twist Studios G7's stash and pick up some bright pink yarn and see what I will be knitting soon from Tin Cat Knits M9 stand. Maybe I should go to Tin Cat Knits M9 stand first and then go back to Ginger Twist Studios after. Oh, my head's just going already, and this is why we need to plan. You get my meaning? You get me? This is time spent in reconnaissance, and it's seldom wasted. Even if you've never been before, then you'll be able to find the bar quickly. Hooray! So back to the patterns. There are 6 of them, and I missed it last episode. One is for a crochet cushion by Jean Crowfoot, which I think's fab because Joe and Mika have remembered and catered for the crochet side. This is just not knitting only. And of course there's fibre, tools for spinning available in the marketplace, crochet workshops, which I'm afraid are sold out, but they are there for the lucky ones. The names of the patterns intrigued me. I knew McMurray, Gladsmuir and Ormiston were places in East Lothian, so I just kept looking. Chiquair and Belsider from Linlithgow Way, which left Sonic, which I find is near Berwick-upon-Tweed. I like a bit of place naming patterns, but they've got really nothing to do with the patterns that I can read into the introductions. However, no matter whatsoever. Ormiston is the huge Intarsa blanket wrap that I dare you to get knitting for the show. You have a little over a month. Sure you could do it. It's designed by Francesca Hughes and it uses Little Grey Sheep's Gotland double knit, which is stamped G3. It comes complete with tassels, and you know, I actually think Richard would like this. It looks very cosy for the days when it's not windy but cold out there, and for getting wrapped up and when you're travelling. Imagine this on ScotRail. Yes, you're getting the pins out now, aren't you? The Sonic cowl from Donna Smith is a stranded knitted cowl which would be perfect against the winter winds because it's stranded in double knitted Alemark Uradale yarn, stand A9. It's quite a striking pattern, and if you can do this knitting witchcraft, because I can't. It will be super warm. The Tuquair hat and fingerless gloves look even nicer closer up in the photos than I've seen on the social media photos. And these are, get back in my pocket, Amanda B. Collins. The body is set off by a good rib in plain, and then the herringbone stitch is a speckled dyed single. You could make them in just one colour, but we don't do that. We're knitters. We've extra fun. It intrigues me that they're knit on the flat and then they're seamed using a 3-needle bind-off, which I quite like. It calls for 4-ply or fingering weight, and Amanda has used Skein Queens, and they're at stand H2, which is right in the middle of the hall. I think that possibly you could use the sock yarn, and I've got West Yorkshire Spinners sock yarn and Hollyberry and Matching Cherry. And imagine them for Christmas. Oh, fantastic. But you obviously got to go for the Skein Queen first, because that's what you're seeing in the picture, and that's us knitters that like to see exactly the same. I love it, Amanda. Well done. Get back in my pocket, my favourite doctor. We move on to our feet now. And then there's the fabulous Claire Devine, who we miss a lot, and she has some snazzy cable and lacy socks going on. Almost Cagney and Lacey. Louise, me and you could have matching socks. Tempting. What do you think? These socks are cuffed down and they're slip stitch on the heel, and if Claire's written them, you'll not go wrong, because she can write a good pair of socks. She's used Knitting Goddess's Brit sock, who's going to be at stand K10. I certainly will be going there at some point. And of course, there has to be a shawl pattern. Rennie Callahan has designed Belside using luxury yarn from Kettle Yarns, stand C6, and it's an asymmetrical shape with its 2 colours and a zigzag up the middle. I read somewhere now, I can't find now, but it's almost like the 4th Rail Bridge sort of design zigzag. I love the blue colour that they have on this with the eyelet detail. It looks really nice when it's worn, that shawl. Finally, we come to Gladsmuir, which is the crochet cushion by Jane Crowfoot. And she uses Jameson of Shetland Stand F2 Spindrift. And it's, well, kind of granny square. And it has a ripple effect to give you a rough idea. But when you look at the colours used and the design created, this is not so much granny, more your fun gran Janet or super gran. And it's just really funky, bold and quite striking design. There's four essays in the book, and one includes a travelogue for going around Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh to the area of Duddingston, which includes a pub. It's always an important thing to know where the pub is. The other essays are well written and have kept me company at lunchtimes learning more about our gracious hosts, Joe and Mika. I liked the designs the more I looked at them closer up. And I looked through the patterns and I liked the photographs, which have quite an industrial feel to them, being in the biscuit factory. Biscuits. Nom, 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 nom. But I love the way that the colours complement each other in them. I think that the show companion is really good. The quality for the price, the content has been carefully selected, and the use for planning ahead, then you'll have a memory of the day after. Last year I bought the Wool Tribe for a prize for my uncle. Do you know what? I don't think I want to give this one off. But I'm going to refrain from marking it with pain, just in case. But if you see me with a Wool Tribe in my hand and it's got pen on it, that's my copy and I'm afraid nobody else is getting it. I think that Wool Tribe is now a tradition that should be upheld for every Edinburgh Yarn Fest Joe and Mika. No pressure or anything. No. If you are or you aren't going to Edinburgh Yarn Fest this year, I really recommend this publication, and you can buy all the yarns for the patterns online if you can't make the show.
Coming up, it's
there. Coming up. The ICHF Hobbycraft Show is returning to Glasgow SECC the first weekend of March, because there is actually other places in Scotland. We're just very focused on Edinburgh this episode. However, I'm mentioning this because my mum, she's forsaken me, and lots of the other Caithness quilters are going down there on the first weekend of March. And there's a new hall which is dedicated to quilting and sewing. And they are really looking forward to this. It's all I hear when I go see them. I want this. No, it's okay. I'm saving my money. But I expect they will have an absolute blast. And of course, I have before mentioned that Edinburgh Yarn Fest is on the 10th and 11th of March. And there are all manner of workshops and stall holders. And more importantly, starring me. Me! Me! As I said, no Sweden that weekend, so I'll be driving down the A9. There's a stand, the A9. From the very north coast of Caithness to our great capital city, Edinburgh, and all it has to offer that weekend. You will find me in the podcast lounge, mostly, but also floating around in the marketplace. Possibly following my line, I'll draw on my Wool Tribe, but probably not, when I'm avoiding the really crowded area and the yarn pretties take my fancy one way or the other, because they will. I'll see travel knitter stuff and I think, got to have that. Not that I need to increase my stash or anything, but I'm trying to do informed purchases. As mentioned before, I will be at the podcaster meetup on Saturday at lunchtime, and in the afternoon at 2, I am on an audio podcaster panel where you'll get to ask me, Louise Scully of Knit British, Helen Stewart of Curious Handmade, Yarn in the Cities, Alison and Rachel, and you ask us questions. Louise has decided that you can all be podcasters for the day and you can go out and record a wee podcast of your own. There seems to be a shift from audio podcasts to video casts. So there seems to be a space in the audio world for you, because some of the podcasts that I started listening to, such as Electric Sheep, oh, I miss her so, and, Nick from Yarns from the Plane is taking a little bit of a break just now, but there is space for you. Now, you are your unique selling point, so why not? Remember, UK podcasters, you all have amazing accents. And how lovely is it to hear from all over? Orkney, Aberdeen, Fort William, Harris, Borders, Northumberland, the West Country, Birmingham, Kent, North Wales, South Wales, Northern Ireland, Ayr. I could go on, because then it starts to sound like the Proclaimer song, Letter to America. That's later in the podcast, don't worry, we'll come to that. So there's plenty to save up for in the very near future between Glasgow and Edinburgh.
The Beaker section.
Me section. Then knitting front. Blacker Yarns have the podcast, which is where you and I, because that includes you, dearest listener, make a garment, and it can be any garment whatsoever, with Blacker Yarns. You have to sign up with a Blacker Ravelry group, and then you present yourself wearing or holding your finished object to the Blacker stand at Edinburgh Yarn Fest, which is in the bar area beside the podcast lounge, because they're sponsoring it, and this is why they're awesome. And you'll get a discount on their stand, which I think's pretty darn generous. You're casting this on, well, you've already cast it on, but you have to cast it on quickly because it started on the 19th of January. But you have to cast it off by the 4th of March and put your photograph up on their group to prove so. There's a hashtag, of course, hashtag BlackerPodcast. As mentioned before, I've cast on the Newell cardigan by Cecily Glowick MacDonald. I am enjoying working with the West Country tweed. It's sturdy, it's woolen spun, and I think it's going to hold the shape of the cardigan very well. And it's not going to be too soft like my Lush cardigan, which is in acrylic. The cardigan is raglan, and it's from the top down, and I'm 7.5 inches in. I thought I was doing well. And then I look at fellow tweed contestant, Isla of Brit Yarns. Hiya Isla, happy whole year of culture. And she's past the armholes and a fair bit down her tummy. In fact, she's probably at the rib by now. She had a fancy bit of cable on the yoke too. I am a lot jealous, of course. I'm going to admit that. But slow and steady Louise gets cardigans made. I do think that I'll have to put a rake of hard work to get it done by the 4th of March. And I really am trying to do it every day. The next part I have to do when I get to 8 inches is split for the armholes, and then I start doing an eye cord and stuff. I'm on ball 3 of the West Country tweed, and I like it when I go upstairs and I go, oh, I'll just get myself another red tweed ball of yarn, take downstairs for the big knitting bag. I also keep my paper patterns in a poly pocket. Ooh, alliteration, I love alliterations. If I'm making a slightly bigger item, as I have them just on paper, and they tend to get really ragged. I'm keeping a note on my pattern for the increases because it was every second increase and then every fourth increase for so many times, and it helps because a stitch counter, it wouldn't have worked for me on that. So I'm writing on my pattern. I'm loving the fabric it's producing. I actually feel like a proper grown-up knitter. I finished the hat for my father-in-law's 80th birthday, which was last Saturday. I had some, don't have any more, merino and bamboo handspun, which I got from a swap from Fondant Fibres. And I used the Ray Holt pattern by Diana Walla, which is double-skeined beanie. You start at the top and you increase out, and then you knit down the body of the hat. But instead of going into a rib and casting off, you knit on the double the length and then you decrease and cast off again, and then it looks like a deflated rugby ball or an empty haggis vessel because we had Burns supper recently. Of course I'm still thinking about haggises. And then you put the top of the hat into the other of the hat, and ta-da, it's double sided and it's well toasty because I was wearing it just when I finished it. We were supposed to go down to Oban for a big family dinner, and I was going to knit in the hat all the way, finish it in the car. But on Tuesday, last week, I did a wee bit too much, and I was shattered tired, and also fighting another infection somewhere else in my body. Think Prince Philip. So back to the doctors for some more penicillin, and more bed rest. And, you know, even just going for coffee was tiring me out. This week, I've been forced to rest more, and we didn't go down to Oban. I had to finish the hat for Friday morning so I could then post it first class to get it to him for Saturday. Guess what? I did. I love the UK Post Office for that brilliant service. You can post something first class from one end of the country and it gets to the other the very next day. Or, well, that's the theory. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So the yarn I recommend, her spinning was pretty good. It was nice and soft, and I used nearly all the skein, and then I popped the rest into the envelope just in case that he snags the hat. It's very likely he could. And mother-in-law can darn it back together. Or even he could. I'm quite sure he's capable of that. I was very sad in a way, because I wanted to make a headband for me with that yarn, but never mind. One small thing that irked me. We Skyped him on Saturday, sang happy birthday. He was sitting wearing it, which didn't irk me at all. I was delighted that he got it and was wearing it. But he was wearing it with a rolled brim. He stretched it, listeners. I seriously had to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I let it go. I made Olaf the snowman and everything. Anyway, it was a good project to be knitting on when I was poorly. And the bag came to the hospital with me, but I didn't actually take it out in the end because I didn't want it to pick up any smells or germs. And when I was finally able to concentrate, I was home. Plus, it's good to do something for other people when you're feeling sorry for yourself. I would recommend this hat pattern. Although, I'm not 100% convinced that I did it correctly, because it says when you go to the body of it, it says stockinette. And I just knitted because it was in the round, but possibly wanted stockinette to give it a different texture. I don't know. My yarn was fab, so just knit, because then the yarn did all the talking. Louise Tilbrook, hi Louise, Everyday Knitting Facebook group is growing and growing and is a wonderful place to hang about on Facebook. Now my thread does sometimes get taken over a bit, but I like knitting, so I can put up with it. And I haven't felt the need to hide it, which you can do if you don't want to look at something or someone on Facebook, but you still feel that you should remain friends. It's pathetic, isn't it? Facebook politics. Anyway, Louise has a monthly knitting challenge going on. Monday motivation and just positiveness pouring out. There was one person who had posted some weird posts and was almost trolling the other members, and so Louise rightly moderated them quickly and then removed them from the group, because she had actually set out the rules and everybody is told, hey, you can have these rules and this is what we need to stick to. And then there was a thread started of, well, there was no need for that. Oh, what a weirdo. I agree there was no need for that, but I did chime in to mention that sometimes people out there might have a mental illness or could possibly have brain injuries or even of the generation that haven't learnt correct social media etiquette, such as typing in capital letters or capital letter in every word, because some of the older generation can do until they learn about the so-called etiquette, or some of them just don't care. I thought it better to share my experience of moderating my own group and having correspondence over the years with some odd messages, and later on you find out why. That person might be bipolar and is currently going through a strange time in their lives, and whilst they might need a sort of gentle reminder that this group is to be moderated and there's rules to be stuck to, when they come back out of their episode, then it's something that they need and need to hold on to, and sometimes they can be quite ashamed of what they've said in the past. Some people completely oblivious, and some people are indeed trolls and they should be dealt with what it is. But I did feel it was necessary to sort of remind people, don't just think that this person is a troll, because not all of them are. And I'm only saying this because I've had experience of it. So what I've just said, I'm not saying it's like that all the time, but be mindful of weird messages on forums before you, well, cast your stones. Anyway, Louise's February challenge is socks. Remember I'd finished the first of Daisy's socks using the West Yorkshire Spinners sock weight yarn in the Christmas colours in 2015. Look, geese. And I used Susan B. Anderson's smooth operator sock pattern. Do you know, every now and again there's an update on Susan B. Anderson's pattern. And I get this message in my inbox and think, oh, Susan's sent me a message. And then it's not, actually, it's just an update. But hi, Susan, if you're still listening. She used to. Well, last episode, I decided to rip them out because they didn't fit. They were fitting until I put the toe on. And then I actually think she grew the time it took me to finish making the sock. She was struggling getting them on. Yesterday being 1st of February, wee Sandy had a bug and was off school. He was couch bound, not that ill, but just a kind of funny rundown kind of thing that soup and blankie helped. Daisy was having that day today, which was yesterday, but I plugged her into the Kindle for an hour while I got this typed. So we watched Star Wars 7 yesterday, the 2 days before when Sandy was off. I'm confused now. This is the one with BB-8 in it. Quite enjoy it. And I started to rip out the socks. It took me the entire film to do this because the toe, the cuff and the heel were in the matching Holly Berry speckled colour, which I thought I was so smart doing. And the main colour of the body of the sock was cherry red. The red yarn coped very well, but the speckled yarn not so much. Unravelling wrap stitches or whatever it was I was doing, knit two together or even splitting the yarn, just did not go easily. And I'm not going to use this reclaimed yarn for another sock because I've got plenty more, but I'll keep it for something else like toy knitting or something. I did not feel in a place to cast on as I'd gone so wrong with getting the socks to fit. Sigh. I'm sad because Sandy's version of them are wonderful and he's still wearing them. He's actually still wearing his no-maker socks too, even though they're really too small for him. But he loves them and I love him for loving them. Isn't that a song? I love to love you. Can't remember, but it reminds me of one of the love to love you songs. Spread the love. I asked on Louise Tilbrook's page today if anybody has a really good pattern you'd recommend for a wee girl with UK size 1 feet, kind of hobbity version. Roundy toes. Can you let me know? I'm not experienced enough to be let out by myself on this one. I was okay about the rip out because I let the socks sit for so long that the hours that it took me didn't seem to matter so much. And do have a look on Facebook if you're on it for Everyday Knitter. There are some wonderful posts on there, and the other day's was about not using Kitchener Stitch. I've also cast on a pussy hat by Kat Coil of the Pussy Hat Project fame. Now, if you have small people listening with you, could you please just pause here and listen to it without them? I'm not going to use expletives, but as a mother, I don't think you'll need to have this conversation unless a small person is quite a big small person and you are ready for the conversation. You know the conversations I mean. Normally the ones when you're stuck in the car and they ask you the question and you're... Don't think I want to have this exact conversation with my almost 11-year-old and certainly not my 8-year-old, so please be warned. Right. Well, that should have given you enough time to pause or stop. I know that the rest of you are quite intrigued. The pussy hat. To me, I got the name's double meaning straight away, but to some people it has been described as vile and vulgar. And I understand why you think this. Let me explain the way I did to my mother. It is a take on that it looks both like a pussycat with its ears and the way that the hat is assembled, and also it is a play on the word pussy, which is slang for a lady's lady area. I could be more biological, but I'm comfortable saying lady's lady area to my mother. These lady's area were the bits that Donald Trump said he would grab, but the pussy, when he was being recorded unawares. Now, I cannot begin to tell you how much this disgusts me, he said this. Also, I'm disgusted at the trickle-down effect it had when someone so powerful says that it can be a so-called permission to the male of the species. This is not okay. This is nowhere near okay. It's assault. That is the vulgar and vile part. Do you want this to happen to you? To your sister, your daughter, your mother, and even the males of the species? No. No, you don't. You condemn it. I could see how there was a lot of people that didn't understand the cat reference because there's a whole stream of people on Twitter going, I didn't get it. I thought that the cat was a pink version of a lady's area in a pure and simple biological fact of having a vagina on your head to protest. Maybe that was the vile and vulgar aspect of it. Yes, I could see that totally. And that would take a braver than me protester to wear that vagina hat. But a lady's area is a lady's area. It's biological. And like me, That's my area to do with what I want, not have someone else assault me. So, to me, the protest was a way of claiming my pussy back. I will not have him demean me because I'm a woman, and I will not have him demean you or my daughter or my mother or any of you either. But whilst it could look like a biological part, it is also a simple hat pattern with cat ears made in pink, which is seen to be a female colour. The hats on the women's protest march, it dates their march to that day, and the sneaky media types cannot hoodwink these photos. They also unite the march in their colour and make it really stand out. It wasn't just about the pussy-grabbing comment either. It was about standing up for equal rights for women. For instance, why should you get less money than the person who does the same job for you? And they're probably not even doing it as well as you are. It's about the abortion rules. It's about being against female genitalia mutilation, standing up for equality for females, and also bringing up the boys to respect and expect the same. You don't need to be a female to be called a feminist. It's about equality for both men and women. I like to think that you are all my kindred spirits, listeners. We have far more in common than that which divides us, the late Jo Cox said in her maiden speech to Parliament. I like to think that you think like me in equality and togetherness. I am also sad to realise that not all of you do, but I am realistic. Remember, I've said it before, my upbringing, my life is different to yours. My politics are different because of that. Yours are different because of yours. To be perfectly honest, politics sadden and weary me more and more, and that is for both sides of the Atlantic. What with Trump, who's a puppet, Putin with his chess game, May and her weaknesses, Farage, who is really not worth the breath I just used, and it leaves Merkel being the leader of the free world with Sturgeon being the only other grown-up in the whole lot of them. And I would have none of them around. In fact, I wouldn't even want them past my gate. Not one of them. Before you think, how dare you comment on our politics? You have had as much recourse on our politics as we have on yours. And you have proved time and time again with questions and opinions, some of which I agree with, some of which I don't. But until now, I walked the line, not being political. But this hat deserves comment for all the fallout it may receive. The past months have been like a scene from the George Orwell book 1984. You remember I read it last year? And remember I said it is not a happy read. But it may open your eyes if your ears don't. If we don't listen, we don't hear. If we don't hear, we don't learn. That was my quote. Make it about learning. And if that's not really for you, then you know, it's been nice to have you aboard so far. May your ship sail strong and free. But it's not me, it's you. So the actual hat. I've used the pink yarn I got from Twin Sites Summer Camp, and it's African Expressions Harmony, and this is a salmon pink colour. It's 100% merino and it's an iron weight. It's got a really high twist on it, and I forgot that I had it. And when I was wanting to make the hat, because I was rolling around in my stash, because I do that, it makes me happy. And I was thinking, oh, I've got 4-ply from Strathern Knits, and then I had some Bookley 4-ply from Yarns from the Plain, which I, both of things, I've earmarked for something else. But then I was moving the wee bag that Stephen B. Be inspired. And it's pink, you see. And I remember I had chosen the blue of that colour, but the very, very kind Diane of Not Just Hats fame gave me her pink. And she said it wasn't really her colour and she wouldn't take my blue in exchange, which was extremely kind. So I like to think that I'm using the yarn I got from my sassy USA friends and I'm standing in solidarity with them across the Atlantic. And if anything, this hat's a conversation opener. Conversations lead to informed debate and explanations, and the hat's purpose is therefore working. It was an interesting conversation having with my mum. But she learned, and she's completely in agreement with me. Mum doesn't watch all the news because I think she's realised sometimes she's of an age where It all goes round. History repeats itself. But that, and it's going to keep my head warm in February. So I'm 4 inches into it, and it's done in the flat, but I have actually been focusing on the cardigan mostly. And now the wee ones are welcome back in. Hello! Have you been on Minecraft? Sewing front. I bought a jelly roll in creams and whites from Cotton Patch after the new year, and this is to make a comfort quilt for someone important to me who's going through a very tough time next week, and I want to make a fast quilt soon. And I started just sewing the long strips together. I've got about half of them sewn, and I think there's about 30 in the roll, and I was holding it against the backing material to see how wide and how long it is. The strips are over a metre long, and the piece of backing material got 2 metres long, so I could chop the 2 metres in half, or about that, and attach it to the width to make the quilt wider, which would then use the strips up with the jelly roll, but then, this is just me, the strips would all be having to be horizontal, because if you sit with the lap quilt on your lap, you would really want it to go down to your feet, and it would be wrong. I'm not having strips lengthy ways, it would have to be down the way. I don't know why, but I could make a cushion. So I think a wee lap quilt would be about the right size for them to have on their knee when they're recuperating. And if I'm good, I could still use up the extra strips and the extra piece of backing fabric to make a cushion to match. And I'm not complaining. I don't know if this is a complaint, but it's taking longer than I expected. I think I thought it would be really quick, and I've been at it quite a few days now, although not hours and hours over the same day, because I've been restocking the shop, and then I've had children off sick, and Sandy's quite high maintenance. So I couldn't escape to upstairs. And he did say, what would you be doing now? And I was like, well, I'll be upstairs sewing, darling. So didn't quite manage to do it. And so I was restocking the shop. I was quite a lot of energy on Monday. And I made a red McGregor bag, an ancient Macmillan bag, and an ancient Fraser bag. I got a few bags cut up upstairs, so I've been putting them together. Plus, I was asked last year by lovely Claire Douglas if I had Douglas tartan, which I didn't, and I don't. But she said that she had a bit that was left over from a kilt, and would I be able to make a bag with it? So I asked her what size it was, and she said it was about what it was, and it was about right, so she posted it over. I then managed to whiz it up the past weekend, and off it went on Monday to its new home. I really liked the Douglas tartan. It was easy to match the tartan with my stash of materials, and the piece of woolen fabric that she had was really nice to work with. However, I had to get some matching blue thread for the inside, so that was quite nice. It's an almost teal but not quite kind of blue. I've also seen some lovely, lovely fabric that has thistles over it, which the Fabric Fairy from Golspy stocks. And I think it's going to go brilliantly in the bags. So the next time she's up for quilters, I'm going to get some. Because when I saw her, I didn't have quite enough money in my purse, and it never occurred to me to ask my mum for a subby. Now, on the ancient Fraser bag, I used some terracotta material on the inside, which goes pretty well because there's a line on the tartan that's the same colour. And I had a fight with the bobbin thread, but I won in the end, bobbin thread. And on the back of the bag is the most beautiful piece of hand-dyed green and white fabric ever. It's completely unique, and there's not enough for any more bags. And it sold out pretty quickly. I had the other part of the material on one of my art quilts of this green fabric. So it's a posh. It went really, really well with the ancient Fraser and terracotta. So I do now need to buy some terracotta thread. I could do with going to my local haberdasheries, Elizabeth and Thurso, and I'll get some buttons for my owl-looking cardigan whilst, which I've worn a few times, I still need buttons. And I did go on to Ravelry and updated my projects. I still got to put the dates on them because they're not running to date order in my threads. And I can see why people say put a tag of the year in it now, which I might do just slowly over the next wee while, because I was going to do what I'd done over the year, but it seems too long now. I enjoyed doing it, actually, looking back. I did achieve quite a bit. I think having to tell you every fortnight what I've been doing, it's really good because you feel like you're accountable, and I try and tell you new things, so I have to finish the old things first because that's the way I work. On to the collective. I managed textile artists both weeks, but then realised how tired I was afterwards. You know, sometimes you think you're better, but then you go and do something that you would normally do and not think anything of, and I realised, I'm still not recovered. Well, that. I get fatigued. But it was so nice to go in and get hugs from them all. And Joan used to be a nurse, and she told them that what I'd had and how serious it was. So there was lots of making of cups of tea and not having to move, basically. It's so hard not to set up their tables for them or make them tea or do the dishes. Anyway, they were wet felting the first week and needle felting small creatures the second week. There was a little penguin, a penguin crossed with a seagull, or I'd call it a scory, a wren that we were debating whether it's either a red squirrel or a weasel. It's too great friends, that was funny. A mouse turned into a seal, and there was an owl that was a punk. It was great fun. I had a wee kit from Hobbycraft to make a wee kitty cat, and in it, it had two polystyrene shapes. One was an oval for its body and a round one for its head. There was two felting needles, a wee square of plastic foam, which is actually kind of stuff that you get in packaging. And then there was a good amount of roving, a couple of beads for its eyes and some threading instructions. The rest of them were needle felting the shapes of the animals just with the roving, but this one gave me a base to cover and work from. And I thought it was okay for a kit, but I'm glad that I'd had a bit of experience about needle felting before. Just for the instructions. I'm not sure I'm convinced that the polystyrene would stand up to the amount of stabbing it needs to make the object nice and dense. Plus, it's not really an environmentally friendly material, polystyrene. But I got two front legs made and the head and the body attached and covered and a tail, but not the black legs or ears, because the photos don't show you the black legs or the tail. I was just working off the photos, so I had to read and I went, back legs? Tail? There's no tail in the photograph. So, I'll get there. But I should say, if you've never done needle felting before, how you do it, this is how you do it. It's very, very satisfying because you're stabbing something. So if you have stress this week, after listening to my episode, get your felting needles going. You have a long triangular barb felting needle and it gets pushed the wool roving or fleece together, and the barbs on the needle move the fibres and the scales on the fibres grab together, and this creates a solid fabric or form. So what you would do, you need a bit of sponge, one for washing your car, or a bit of foam, you know, upholstery foam, or an upside down brush, like a scrubbing brush. You get specific ones from Clover, and you get your needle, and you get your bit of wool or fibre or fleece cleaned, obviously, because ugh. And then, say you want a square, you put it onto the foam or your sponge, and you stab at it, basically, and it will start to bind itself. Watch your fingers. If you have the foam or the sponge, then keep picking it off the sponge because you'll felt it to the sponge. Ask me how I know about that. And you keep on stabbing at the fleece until it forms a solid shape. You can pull bits off if you need to. You can add all you want. You attach things to it by needle felting them, or stabbing. And I cannot emphasise how cathartic this is. Any anger you feel melts away. Although it can be a bit tiring, hence I went home early. And I was walking out, the lovely Ella gave me a wee get well soon bag, which was lovely. It had two pots of wooden beads in, a postcard of Sheena Norcoy's work, and a wee Hobbycraft kit for a headband with some felt daisies on it. And of course, if it's got Daisy on it, I'm there. Now, sick note Daisy, as I said, was off yesterday. So we sat for a while in the morning and we started it. She did not bad, but after a while she drifted off back to the couch. And I stopped then too, And I'll get back to it soon because it's really lovely and she really suits a headband. Her favourite just now is two panda ears, which is basically two black pom-poms. So it was really kind of Ella. She's that kind of person, a kind one. And both bairns back to school, hence the silence. The library corner. I've not had any books myself. I did start a Bradley Wiggins autobiography in hospital, but I've not gone back to it yet. And I'm reading Sandy's Huckleberry Finn, and I thought I would read you this bit. This is chapter 36 in the Vintage Classics edition. So we dug and dug with the keys now, till most midnight. And then we was dog-tired and our hands was blistered, and yet I couldn't see we'd done anything, hardly. At last I says, "This ain't no 37-year job, this is a 38-year job, Tom Sawyer." He never said nothing. But he sighed, and pretty soon he stopped digging, and then for a good little while I knowed he was thinking. Then he says, "It ain't no use, Huck, it ain't gonna work. If we was prisoners, it would, because then we'd have as many years as we wanted in no hurry. But we can't fool along. We've got to rush. We ain't got no time to steer. If we was to put in another night this way, we'd have knocked off a week to let our hands get well. Couldn't touch a case nice with them sooner." "Well, what are we going to do, Tom?" "I'll tell you. It ain't right. It ain't moral. I wouldn't like it to get out, but there ain't only just the one way. We got to dig him out with the picks and let on. It's case knives." "Now you're talking," I says. "Well," he says, "there's an excuse for picks and letting on a case like this if it weren't so. I wouldn't approve it, nor would I stand by it. See, the rule's broke because right is right and wrong is wrong. A body ain't got no business doing wrong when he ain't ignorant and knows better. It might answer for you to dig Jim out with a pick without letting on because you don't know no better, but it wouldn't for me because I do know better. Give me a case knife." He had his own by him, but I handed him mine. He flung it down and says, "Give me a case knife." I didn't know just what to do. But then I thought. I scratched around amongst the old tools. I got a pickaxe and gave it to him. And he took it out and went to work and never said a word. He was always just that particular. Full of principle. So, I thought that was quite relevant to today's society and stuff. And to Daisy, I'm reading Black Beauty, which she's enjoying. She's not so much into novels, they're a bit old for her, but she's a shorter attention span for listening. She seems to quite like that. And I'm enjoying reading both of them, although Huckleberry Finn, a wee bit harder to read because it's written in his accent. And I can only read out Jim's part if I do a really bad impression of him. I'm glad that the bit does not include him, or you would be all really insulted. And plus, I had a conversation about the words used to describe the slave people and told them that it was obviously now an insult and I've changed it to person of colour. And also we've discussed slavery and the book was of its time. I think he prefers the Tom Sawyer book, but that's next episode. I found a bit in there that was breathtaking of writing. I'd be interested to hear what you think of the books. Are they books that should not be read now, or should we read them, compare and contrast and learn from them? As Sandy's a little younger than Tom and Huck, what adventures they get up to that I'd hate as a 21st century parent for him to do. Different times indeed.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. Thank you very much for your purchases this past week. I do very much appreciate it. The shop has currently got one Bruce Tartan and two Red MacGregor tartan project bags in, and as I said, I had an ancient Fraser tartan bag in it, and I had an ancient Macmillan, but they sold, although I have more of the both tartans, so there will be more of them soon, but not the same unique back of the ancient Fraser. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast and get stuff back, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/KeithNessCraft.
Blah 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 section.
Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate you taking the time to download, use up your download speeds, and get listen to me. And I like to add specifically for this episode that all opinions are mine, sometimes Richard's. I occasionally get facts wrong, but I try not to, and I don't do it on purpose. There is no newspeak here. My email is kathnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Facebook as kathnesscraft. The Podbean site is www.kathnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, where the podcast is hosted. The intro and the outro are from Free Music Archive, and it is called Entertainment for the Braindead by a friend. And it's not that I think any of you are braindead, it's just that was their name, and I like the music with the birdie at the start. Thank you, listeners. I hope you're well, and do keep on crafting.